And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse on this podcast. Now that the Cincinnati Bearcats basketball season is officially over after losing an NIT quarterfinal last night against Indiana State, we transition into a different sport in this city. Yes, baseball is officially upon us. That means our Cincinnati Reds are finally playing regular season baseball. Opening day is on Thursday. If you're listening to this podcast on Thursday, happy opening day. And the Reds are taking on the Washington Nationals, officially baseball season. Last year, Reds season was really fun. They were a very fun, exciting young team. The team finished 82-80 overall, two games over 500. And now this year, I think a lot of Reds fans are expecting this team to take the next step, maybe make the playoffs, who knows, win the NL Central. But this offseason, especially during spring training, yo, there's been a lot of injuries. And now I feel like some Reds fans are already giving up on their season, even though they haven't played a game yet. So I am just like, okay, these injuries are happening. Let's just breathe. We're lucky that these injuries are happening now instead of in August when they're battling for a playoff spot. So let's just take it 1 month at a time, Reds fans. I know this is a baseball city. Reds fans, they love their baseball team. They love their baseball. Some of these fans, especially on social media, it's very hard to communicate with them. So that's why I have my little brother, Matthew. He's been on this podcast plenty of times talking about Reds baseball because he's a big fan. So we're going to preview the season and we're going to get his take on the Reds season, what's going to happen, predictions, all that great stuff. Matthew, welcome back to the podcast, sir. And are you freaking out like pretty much half of Reds country is right now with all these injuries that are happening?
No, I am not freaking out, Jesse. I am relaxed. I am calm. I'm composed. I'm excited for baseball to be back. And again, like you say, one game at a time, 1 month at a time. Baseball is a marathon season. So
exactly.
Happy to be back in the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's 162 games. Yes, these injuries are very unfortunate. And I would like you to like name pretty much who's out right now and just give me your take on like who's going to be stepping up for the players that are out right now. Who's going to be like very important? Just name out the injury list that we have so far on this team.
Yes, sir. Let's start with Nwabi Marte. We know he's not hurt. He was suspended 80 games for PED use when I heard those
news. Okay, can I stop you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Okay. Nwabi Marte. And when all the Reds rookies came out last year, my opinion was Marte was going to be better than all of them. Yeah, better than Ellie De La Cruz. I know, that's a big hot take. But I was really high on Marte. My man, it's like, really? Like, you didn't know that you were taking steroids? I mean, whatever it was that you took, my guy, you knew that was illegal. And you knew that you're going to get drug tested randomly, right? It's just unfortunate you got drug tested on the week, whatever you're taking, or how long you've been taking it. Come on now, that's a stupid young mistake, and I hope that he learned his lesson. So he's going to be out for the first 80 games of the season. That's a big deal. With the number of injuries that this ball club has already, you would think that Marte was going to be a big contributor. He was going to be a big contributor regardless of the injuries, but now that we have a lot of players down, like we need you, and you made a stupid mistake. So I hope these 80 games, he really has, you know, let's do some lot of reflecting and learn his lesson. Sorry to interrupt you there because I
No, it's really all good.
Go ahead.
After the Marte suspension, that was kind of like the avalanche, like the domino effect. Next was TJ Friedl. He was going for a play in center field, playing in spring training game, diving for the ball, you know, caught his glove, caught with his hand and it to the grass, and he fractured like a ligament in his right wrist. And another was Brandon Williamson is going to be in the IL for a couple of days, weeks. And Nick Lodolo is going to be in the IL. So, but he's projected to be back in April, the 10th of April. So like maybe like the first 2 weeks of the season. And Ian Jabeau is out. And then I believe is McClain. He just had shoulder surgery yesterday. I just can't see him. He'll try to come back because McClain's like the kind of player McClain is. But I just want him, you know what, take this season to just rest, get better, get a proper rehab, because this Res medical training staff has, to me, in my opinion, has not done a great job when it comes to taking care of our players the past 3-4 seasons. Even like Jonathan India, when he had a complaint with the medical staff when he was dealing with his plantar fasciitis, and one of the people was telling him, no, you can still play, you know, oh, you need a rest, but he preferred to listen to the person that, oh yeah, you can still play, your fasciitis is at its worst, and he continued playing it, and then he missed like majority, like a few weeks, half of the month, you know, during last season. So I think that's pretty much the list of injuries. I might miss one or two, but that's the key players that are pretty much going to be in IL starting like the first week of the season.
What kind of medical advice is that? Oh, your plantar fasciitis is really in bad shape, but no, you can still play on it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Like, doesn't. I had plantar fasciitis a couple of years ago because I run, but like, I took weeks and months off because it's like, that's an mm-hmm. injury you don't want to play with. Mm-hmm. Especially a baseball player. Definitely. And he's playing in infield, so you're going to be shifting mm-hmm. left and right. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Reds medical staff, like, I'm trying to be nice, okay? And is Timothy Kripchak still like the lead for their medical staff for the Reds team, or
I don't know the specific.
Like, I know he still does surgeries and stuff.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, honestly, he leaves a lot to be desired. The whole medical staff team leaves a lot to be desired. I don't get it. And when they announced that a certain player is going to be out for like 2 months, so they're saying that, let's see, they're saying Friedel's going to be out, what, 2 months? So he'll be back when? Like June?
Middle to late June.
Okay, late June. So in Red's terms and what David Bell is saying to media, he'll be back by like the first week of September. I just know how it is. And honestly, if Friedel's not 100%, don't risk playing him. And I know him and McClain are very competitive and they want to help their team win, but you have to be 100% if you want to make a push to the playoffs. Dog days of August, especially in baseball. Very important to have your key players. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. So I don't want to go off on the medical staff. It's pretty much a waste of time. But the Reds, they don't do a really good job when it comes to giving their players medical advice. It makes absolutely no sense. Like, I don't know. Okay, so what is your outlook for this team this year? I know with the injuries, we can just – let's throw those out of the way, okay? Your outlook mm-hmm. for this team this year, okay? Mm-hmm. 82 wins last year. They went on that 12-game winning streak in the middle of June. That was exciting. Me and you both knew that they were going to come back down to earth, and they did. Mm-hmm. Even then, they were only a game out of a playoff spot on the second to last game of the season. So, with everything they did – in 2023, is it pretty much like they have to make the playoffs or just be in the hunt? But it's with these injuries happening, I don't know. It's going to be tough, but the NL Central is very vulnerable. It's winnable, but I think for this Reds team, they can make the playoffs. I mean, I'm not really thinking about the division. They can make the playoffs, but they really have to get some of the players that have been hurt back, and they have to be healthy and be sustainable in order for that to happen. So what is your outlook for this year's team?
Before the injuries, I was looking division, like number one priority, division, division, division. After the injuries, I'm like, this is okay. Try to be, you know, stay in flow, be competitive, and then near the end, be there for a playoff spot. Right now, I just want to get a sneak in for like a wild card spot. Everything you say is right. We need to get the guys that are injured right now to get healthy, because those are key players. Because you need a full health line of key players that will lead you to a division title. When I look at the NL Central, I look at it as a vulnerable division. Chicago, the Cubs are pretty much like the only team that is the second that is like the biggest threat with along with the Reds. Well, look at the Brewers. The Brewers, they're going to stay in flow. They're going to stay trying to be competitive, but I'm just waiting for them to like deciding, okay, we're going to sell off some of our key guys going to deadline, and we're going to retool or rebuild for like the next in 2 years. And the Cardinals, they'll be better, but their pitching staff is a bunch of old people with signing guys like Sonny Gray, which I love Sonny Gray who's here. I thought it was a solid signing, but he's going to be hurt. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks of the season. And they signed Lance Lynn, who is Asian, and other guys as well. And Pirates are going to surprise people. They have a lot of upcoming players starting to now getting their feet wet, you know, and playing the big league level. But my mindset for now, the way I look at this roster, the way I look at how this team is structured, fight for a playoff spot and sneak into the playoffs. If you could get guys, you know, during later in the season healthy, or you make a trade here and there, okay, go for the division.
I mean, that's a good point. You make really good points. And now with McClain being pretty much, the Reds still think that he can still play this season. I really don't see that happening.
Me either. No.
Now it puts the stress on Ellie, Spencer, and CES in India to be pretty much those four players that have to lead this team in order for this team to potentially get a playoff spot in the wild card. Those four players have to have really good season. They really do. And we go to our next point, the breakout player. And I think it was very important the Reds signed Jonathan India to that 2-year deal, not knowing the help of Matt McClain. And with McClain, was it oblique last year that kept him out the rest of the season in like September?
Yeah.
They shut him down.
Yeah, oblique.
All offseason, we were all thinking that Jonathan India is going to get traded, and that didn't happen. And then they signed him to a 2-year deal a couple of months ago. Some Reds fans are like, why? And then with McClain still not being healthy, and then hearing the news about his shoulder injury, it's a big, big time deal that India is still a Red. And I think he's going to have a breakout year. Yeah, we need the 2021 NL Rookie of the Year Jonathan India. We don't need an India that was really struggling last year. We don't need that. So I really do expect India to break out this year and be a key contributor to this team. They want to make some noise and make the playoffs. So who is your breakout player?
My breakout player will be very interesting when I say the name. It's going to be Christian Encarnacion Strand.
I don't think that's it. I think a lot of people like CES, but go ahead.
I do. I love CES. Where I saw some clips in spring training, you can see he's been putting in the work. That man has a lot of pop. You know, when he swings, it's like he's just barely swinging. He can be a potential 30 plus home run guy in his career. And, you know, I believe I don't think he's not going to reach 30 home runs this season, but he's going to probably be like 3-4 home runs size short of 30 home runs. But you're playing in Grand American Ballpark, you can definitely hit a lot of home runs, and CS can provide so much for you. You know, when you put him in the heart of the lineup, especially when he's, you know, DHing, or you need like a guy on the plate that you can sub for, you know, in situations that you need a guy that can know that he can drive in the run. CS is that guy. His slash line last year, I believe, actually, this is my prediction for this year for him. I predict his slash line is going to be .252 batting average, .801 OPS, 27 home runs, and 86 RBIs with a slugging percentage of .407.
That'll be big. That's a good prediction. Okay. I can honestly, it won't surprise me if CES hits over 30 home runs. It just depends that he'll go on streaks or slumps where he'll be striking out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can keep that to a minimum, And I like the average 252. That's perfect for him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a good call on the breakout player. So team MVP, and I think I might shock you on this. And okay. I'm really high on this guy. And I think a lot of national media people don't really give this guy the credit that he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Spencer Steer is going to be the team's MVP. Mm-hmm. And I also think Spencer Steer is going to hit 30 home runs this year.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I'm not surprised.
Had a good spring. And I saw a couple of highlights this spring where it looked like he's put a lot more power to his bat. The bat is coming off really, like, really good. Pause. And I don't know. I think Spencer Steer, like, Corbin Carroll won MVP last year, and he deserved it. Don't get me wrong. Arizona Diamondbacks went on to go to the World Series.
Corbin Carroll didn't win it. He didn't win MVP. It was Acuna.
No, Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry.
Rookie of the year.
I'm sorry about that. Rookie of the Year was, yeah, Corbin Carroll won that. But throughout the season, I was like, man, I think Spencer Steer should win National Rookie of the Year. Because he was having a great year, but no, it was pretty much under the radar because nobody really was talking about Steer because Cincinnati Reds, small market, nobody really talks about the Reds. But I think he's going to be a key contributor to this team big time, and I think he's going to be probably their best player this year. And yeah, you heard it, 30 home runs, team MVP, Spencer Steer. What do you got?
My team MVP. My team MVP, I will probably pick. I'll go with Ellie. I'll go Ellie team MVP. Last year, when we saw a glimpse of him coming up, when we see was just electric with his, you know, his power, his speed, his defense, his, you know, everything that, you know, just he made all of us Reds fans to believe. And unfortunately, baseball is a game of just learning, processing, adjustment, and pitchers find out how to, like, you know, he spotted his weakness. He struggled, you know, later in the season. However, I felt like with this offseason, he was serious. He put in the work. He went back to his home in the Dominican Republic. He worked on his adjustment, his batting stance. He worked with one of the best players in the game, Juan Soto, to work on that batting stance. He got rid of that big leg kick, and showed it during spring training. I mean, he had a good slash line. I don't know what his exact stats in spring training, but I think his stance got better. He looks more balanced. And I believe that he can put in a really good solid year. My predictions for Ellie, I have it on my notes here. Is I think he will bat around 255, 50 homers, 75 RBIs, and 40 stolen bases.
Only 15 home runs.
You know what? I'll
it's your prediction. You already said it.
I think Ellie's gonna hit with more contact, and I feel like, you know, yeah, I feel like he's gonna hit more contact. He will have some moments where he hits some bombs, but I feel like he's gonna hit more contact and get on base more, because I want Ellie to get on base more, because that's the number one priority, because he can just use his speed and make defenders just completely, just constantly in stress mode every time he's on the base, because he's never know when he's gonna steal a base, or maybe he will steal home again. So
he did that last year, yes, against the Brewers. I remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he made a good point about contact. I think that we need Ellie to be on base more, because it's over. Like, at 9 times out of 10, he's stealing second, or he's gonna steal third. He's a game changer. It's pretty much what we wanted Billy Hamilton to be, but the guy can't hit. But we got this guy who's about 6'5 and has legs like a freaking gazelle. And every time he sprints into base paths, it's like effortless. It's crazy. But there's some Reds fans that are like already, like when he struggled last year, okay, that was gonna happen, okay? Mm-hmm. He came up in June, in the middle of June, and then his team went on a 12-game winning streak, and freaking Reds fans, after after the winning streak ended and then Ellie came back to earth, like we all knew he was going to be, if you're a baseball-minded person, every Reds fan's over here like, oh, what a bust. And I'm just like, really? Really? The guy's only played 2.5 months of baseball. And you're already telling he's a bust just because he's 21 years old. This is his first time up in the leagues. And he's going to struggle. And you it's like you guys wanted him to be Babe Ruth. Like, calm down. Chill out. And then we'll go to our next question. It's year two of Ellie De La Cruz. And I'm with you. I think Ellie's going to improve this year. And I hope that he's worked. Like you said, he put in the work in the offseason. And you said that he's changed his batting stance. And I just need him to not chase those breaking ball pitches, which he did a lot towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he did.
And you saw signs last year when Ellie was patient in the batting box. And I'm like, okay, there you go. He'll go through stretches. He'll go a week where he has seen the ball well. And then he'll go a week where he's just swinging at everything. If he can just work on that like he's done during the offseason and spring training and put that into a 162-game regular season where he's going to have slumps, okay? It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Don't freak out when Ellie De La Cruz in year two is going to have a slump. It's going to happen. This is going to be his first full season. Knock on wood, he stays healthy. I'm going to need you Reds fans to calm down. He's going to have moments where he probably might win NL Player of the Month. Or he's going to have months where he's going to be really bad. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy. He's 22. Mm-hmm. I believe he's 22,
just
right?
Just 22.
22 years old. Chill out. I'm looking forward to seeing what Ellie's going to do in a full season. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. So, yeah, that's pretty much my Ellie De La Cruz quote-unquote rant. You got anything to talk about when it comes to year two of Ellie? Oh, you want to add on to it?
Not really. Everything I say and everything we both say, we're pretty much like in the same boat. I feel like again with just Reds fans, especially on Twitter, there's like a couple accounts that I follow, and they just again, they just need to take a chill pill, man. They just need to.
You ain't kidding about that. Okay, so let's go on to the pitching rotation. So the opening day starter is going to be not Hunter Green, but Frankie Montes. So he used to play for the Oakland A's. Is that right?
And then right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got traded.
So he got traded. Mm-hmm. And did he get hurt last year? I don't really know the whole gist.
Yeah, he got hurt. I think his shoulder. Yeah, his shoulder injury. Okay. So he was hurt like a quarter of the season and finished. I think he finished the season in the IL.
Okay. I think you told me that the reason why David Bell and company decided to go with Frankie as the opening day starter against the Nationals on Thursday is because they want to motivate Hunter Green. Because if there's a player that needs a bounce back season, I think it's Hunter Green. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very important season for him. I'm not saying it's make or break, but I'm going to need Hunter Green to show that he is capable of being an ace, a number one, a guy that you can count on every other 5 days. You know that he's going to go deep in the game, 7 innings, not 6 innings or 6 2/3, allow 6 walks and 10 Ks. The strikeouts are great, but if you're walking like 3 or more batters and your pitch count is at 111 through 6 2/3 innings, that means we need to work on your control command. So do you think that's why David Bell's like, I'm going to start Frankie because I want to give Hunter like a little motivation juice or, you know, I don't know. I was surprised when I heard about that. But what do you think on that move?
No, I think it's just not only was it a motivation move, but also for him just like, again, like learning from the master, and Frankie Montes, a seasoned veteran pitcher who had some great numbers and years in Oakland before he got traded to New York. He was a Cy Young caliber pitcher before he got traded to the Yankees and then got hurt. So I feel like for Hunter, this is an opportunity for him to kind of see how Montes how he approached when it comes to, you know, being a major league pitcher more, being more consistent, you know, spoiling around with secondary pitches and mixing around your pitches and get the hitters, you know, to be a little unbalanced, just to be more of a disciplined starter. And I feel like Montas is the kind of guy that, even though it's a one-year prove-it deal, he's going to show – he's already showing now the leadership and the guidance for this young rotation that we have here with Andrew Abbott, Graham Ashcraft, Nick Martinez. He's a bullpen guy, but he's filling in rotation before Lodolo comes back and Brandon Williamson comes back as well. Going to show these guys how to, again, be professional and also, you know, be more consistent on the mound.
Is Nick Lodolo ever going to pitch again? Like, I'm serious. Like, I feel like every time he takes a step forward into, oh, he's getting back healthy, and then he has a setback.
Yeah.
So it's still, is his back, is there like a stress reaction to it? There's a reason why. Stress, like,
that, yeah, that is still the same injury he had last year. It was the tibula. I don't know, something like it, but it's like a lower stress fracture in his lower body, like the leg, something like that. It's been like re-triggering, you know, here and there, like back and forth. So we have to wait to see once we, you know, he gets, you know, activated in a couple of weeks. But
yeah, a couple of weeks will probably be September.
True. Who knows?
Oh my gosh. All right, so the free agent signings the Reds have had during the offseason, are you okay with them? Which player do you think will make a big impact out of the signings that they did in the offseason?
I think the biggest impact player, I think, would be Nick Martinez. Oh. I think Nick Martinez can be a guy that can fill in a starter too. I know he's going to mostly be a bullpen guy, but I saw some clips in spring training where his velocities and command was pretty good. You know, I felt like, you know, he can bring a lot of value with his pitching staff. It all comes down to he stays healthy. There was some incidents that, you know, he had to be pulled out here and there in like a couple of spring training games. But I think that was a solid signing. And also Emilio Pagan too. I like the approach that Nick Kroll did during the offseason is to find some guys that are proven, that round either they're, you know, coming in their late 20s, coming through the P's late 20s or, in, you know, their early 30s that can still be add value based on war, based on mostly war, because war is most important for any, you know, major league player that can bring, you know, positive value for any ball club. So those are my two players that I'm looking forward to. Don't forget, I forgot about Jamer Candelario. I thought people were kind of questioning that signing when we signed him before the injuries. And after the injuries, people were like, oh, this was a genius signing by Nick Kroll. I think Nick Kroll is like, and my mom was like, man, Nick Kroll, man, he can be, you know, not only has like, you know, he's been doing a good job, you know, just developing the farm system throughout the years and calling the guys, who, you know, from last year. But he can be psychic sometimes. Who knows? that's a bad joke. But yeah, those are my favorite signings of a free agency.
That Jaimer, what's his name? Is it Jaimer Candelario? That's how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Jaimer Dig. Yeah, I think it's Candelario.
So he played for the Cubs last year, and every time the Reds play the Cubs, he will, like, destroy the Reds.
Yeah, he was a double machine.
And what better ballpark to have that double machine into your plaza in Great American Ballpark? Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Perfect, and yeah.
I think it's a good signing, and he's going to be playing third base.
Third base and DH.
DH. Will India be the DH, though?
I think India's gonna play second.
Oh yeah, duh, forgot.
But however, we traded for a guy, the Santiago Espinal from Toronto.
Oh,
so I get, like, that backup.
Yeah, I mean, some some of the signings the Reds have had before the injuries are looking like they're going to have to contribute right away. And I think there's a reason why you sign those players, because injuries happen in baseball. So you look at the bullpen, obviously you got Alexis Diaz, your closer, all-star from last year. And then you talked about Emilio Pagan and Lucas Sims as the setup. And in the middle, you have Fernando Cruz, and you got Buck Farmer. And they signed Justin Wilson, who was a Red, I believe, three years ago?
Yeah, 2022.
Okay, 2 years ago. And then TJ Anton will he be back? Did he have Tommy John again, or?
No, he made it to the roster. He's in the roster.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank God. Because yeah. I remember when he came back last year, and then did he left the game because he was pointed at his elbow? But I guess
he was suffering. He was getting elbow discomfort.
Okay, I thought it was gonna be Tommy John again. Okay, so
he's good. If you get another third Tommy John, man, that's end of career right there.
That's pretty much
for him to recover and come back with two Tommy John surgery is very inspirational.
Yeah, I think TJ Anton is gonna be big for the bullpen.
When he's healthy, his stuff is filthy.
That nasty curveball he has.
The curveball.
Yeah, it's pretty filthy. And then they signed Brent Suter, the left-hander.
Since he's born, since he's native.
Yep, play for the Brewers. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the long guy. Mm-hmm. And then Sam Moll and obviously Ian Jabeau are injured right now. But they'll see plenty of action once they are healthy. Okay, so how do you view the NL Central? We talked about the Reds having a good chance, but now with certain players that are going to be out for a while, the division is weak. So it's possible the Reds can be still in the mix for a division title by September. So what's your outlook in NL Central? Well, give me, like, who's your team? I think you said the Cubs are the Reds' biggest threat. When it comes to say, or you can say the Cubs right now are the favorites to win the NL Central, with the Reds being second, and then you can put the Cardinals up there, because I feel like the Brewers are giving up. I mean, they traded Corbin Burns to the Baltimore Orioles, who probably are one of the many people's picks to make the World Series and win it. So I think the Brewers are giving up, and then like you talk about the Pirates. They get some surprise in people. They still got that Cruz guy, the young player, Cornel right?
Cruz. Like, yeah,
who is a dog. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to take the next step this year. So who in the NL Central you think is going to win it? Put away your Reds bias.
Right. Okay, I'm going to take the hat off. Realistically, it's going to be the Cubs. They're more healthy. They gave Craig Counsell big money making him being the highest paid manager in the game. They re-signed Cody, even though they didn't do a whole lot of moves in the offseason, but they still got a good roster with Ian Happ, who's a Reds killer. They got
and a Bearcat.
Yeah, Bearcat, yep. Mm-hmm, go UC. And they got I believe Morel. I don't know his first name. He's gonna have potentially a breakout year. Nico Horner, what else did he got? Dansby Swanson, and in rotation they signed a guy from Korea, but I don't know his name. I know Justin Steele is gonna be like the ace of that rotation. They also have a bullpen that is solid. I think is pretty good. They're pretty much the same team from last year, but they've made a few tweaks here and there that I feel like that will get them over the hump, because they had that terrible collapse like in the last few weeks of the season where they got swept. I think they lost a series against Atlanta, and that was when Seiya Suzuki, when he was trying to catch a fly ball and it ran past him, and that was basically the Cubs season. But the Cubs can definitely bounce back. Yeah, but the Cubs can definitely bounce back this year and win a division. So I say the Cubs.
You know what? As much as this pains me to say, I feel like the Cardinals are I know they were trash last year, but I feel like they're going to bounce back this year. And honestly, it would not surprise me if they win a division.
Yeah, me neither.
It would not. I know they signed Sonny Gray, and you said that he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. But St. Louis Cardinals and that organization, last year was just very weird to see them lose. Did they lose 90 games?
Yeah, they were like 71-91. It was the first time they hadn't lost 90-plus games since like after their World Series 06 championship in 07. Yeah. They were like 72-90, something like that.
So it's very weird to see. So I think they're going to bounce back. And honestly, they can win a division. It would not surprise me at all. Okay. So it's a tough question. Is it a failure if the Reds don't make the postseason this year?
Yes, it is a failure if they don't make the postseason, despite the injuries. But injuries are part of the game. And it's, you know, again, you know, if it's like the whole roster is playing with injuries, then yes, I can make an excuse. But we still got a quarter of the players here that are healthy. Beginning of the season tomorrow, we still got, you know, depth into this roster, into the organization that they can, like, you know, again, to help push this team to get to that goal. If we don't at least try to fight or make a playoff spot, then I'll say it's a failure, because I've been waiting so long for this baseball team to at least have postseason. No experience and taste. It's been, I know I don't count 2020. It's been 2013 since we ever made the playoffs. That was last time we ever made the playoffs. It was 2013 when we were a wild card team. But I could say this is a failure. Despite the injuries right now, still got some guys. But if it gets worse, injuries gets worse, then I'll say, yeah, just throw away the towel for 2025. But nah, I'm still not giving up the season. I say it's a failure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. They still got good players on this team. And it's unfortunate that obviously McClain is out and then Friedel's going to be out. But Friedel's going to come back. Marte's going to come back. It's just we're not sure on Matt McClain. And if McClain is going to be out for the year, I'd rather have him be out for the year than risk playing. And then if he gets hurt again, it's like we want the future right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you on that. It will be a failure if they don't make the playoffs. It's been 11 years since the Reds have made the playoffs. Honestly, I don't really count 2013 because that's a one-game wild card.
It's 2020.
Now the whole
2020. You said 2013.
That's COVID. I don't count COVID. I don't really count any professional sports team that won a title in 2020. It's a Mickey Mouse ring. That doesn't count. So 2013 was the last time the Reds really made the postseason. That was a one-game playoff against the wild card game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we won't even talk about that because that was absolutely a shit show. So, predictions. How many wins did you predict this team last year when we did the podcast?
I think it was like around the 70 range.
Okay. I think I said like 68. Yes.
Yeah.
So the Reds won 82 in 2023. And if you're a betting person, the Reds are at 80.5. That's what the betting market has the Reds. So pretty much they got them going 80 and 82. Okay. This is tough. I had to really go back and forth with this. I'll say 83 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So one more win than they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
And is 83 wins good enough to win the National League Central?
No.
Maybe. The division is winnable, but you just got to hope that young Reds take the next step after having success last year. And obviously when you're a rookie, when you're a young player in the major leagues, you're going to have ups and downs, and they had their fair shares of downs. Okay. The offense was non-existent in the month of, I believe, August and September, even though they're only a game out of the playoff spot. So it's important for these young Reds to take that next step. 83 wins. That's what I got. And playoffs, no. Uh, I'm gonna say no. It won't surprise if they do end up making the playoffs. I'll be happy. Okay, I just don't know. I don't think they're ready yet. They'll be competitive this year. Don't get me wrong. Okay, they can win the division. They can go to the playoffs. Not right now. Not 2024. 2025. Yeah, I think yes. You got to. I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be, what's that word? Cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. And also, I put out my big, bold prediction for this team this year. Okay, so let's put on my optimistic hat. So, I say the Reds win the National League Central Division, and they finally win a postseason series for the first time since 1995.
Oh,
that's my big, bold prediction.
Mm.
Now let me take off my optimistic act and be real. Go ahead.
Talking to me?
I mean, yeah, we're only two on the podcast.
Oh, okay, I was just confused. I thought you
were... Oh, yeah, I said go ahead.
Okay.
How many wins, playoffs or no, and your big, bold prediction for this team?
Okay, all right. Win or loss? Hey, 91 wins, but if I take off the hat, I'll probably say like 85. But be like the last seed in the wild card spot, which I believe the sixth seed. And yeah, like you said, I think like this team is not fully cooked yet. But I feel like they could finally put it all together in 2025. But I feel like 2024 was supposed to be the year to like go for the division. But with the injury that we have, and to some of the key players, I feel like, okay, 25, we're gonna be for real, and we're gonna make that next big step. But my optimistic me, 91 wins, probably, you know, win a division, but I think probably lose in 3 or 4 games in the NLDS. Cause I felt like, you know, the team is, it'll be like the Orioles from last year. That'd be the optimistic feel of me. We'd be the Orioles of last year where we were, you know, winning a division. However, we came up short in the first round. In the playoffs.
Okay. That's a good take. I mean, we could be the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Beat the Dodgers in the first round and then go to
World Series. Yeah. Hey. Baseball. Anything can happen, man. It's just a strategic, just situational sport that you have the Dodgers just spending billions of dollars on like Shohei Ohtani and getting a guy like Yamamoto, but just can never like win a full like World Series championship. I mean, the Dodgers are a great, well-run organization for nearly a decade now, but never had like a real championship yet. So like,
hang on your shit.
So yeah, and you got swept by Arizona because, you know, Dodgers, their pitching staff was banged up and the offense was anemic from last year, and that's how, you know, they lost against the Diamondbacks. So like, one game at a time, one inning, one everything, you know, is you have to play the game to like, you know, just from beginning to end. So that's, and anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, the Atlanta Braves had the best record in the league last year, and then they ran into the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
And I picked the Phillies to win that series because I feel like the Phillies were postseason experience and having that. And then they lost to the Astros the previous season in the World Series. So obviously they had motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was taking the Braves. And everybody was on the Braves, you know, nuts. And I mean, for good reason. The Braves had a great year last year. I mean,
the lineup is filthy.
Yeah, but I had a feeling the Braves were going to – I just didn't think they were going to go to the World Series last year. I thought they were going to lose in the first round or in the divisional round. I didn't think they were going to go to the World Series. I did not see that happening. But That's baseball. Baseball's a weird sport. Honestly, if you're hot at the right time in the mm-hmm. season, especially towards right. the end, that's mm-hmm. how the Diamondbacks, they went, they got in the playoffs as a wild card team. They beat the Brewers, and they beat the Dodgers, and they beat the Phillies in Game 7 in Philly. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? And then Texas Rangers win the World Series. I mean, I know the Rangers were – they started off the season pretty well, right? I mean,
they did. Yeah, they started off hot. Yeah.
I mean, the Reds swept the Rangers last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, baseball – see, it's just a weird sport. You just never know. It's really unpredictable. You really mm-hmm. can't predict baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be a good season. It's going to mm-hmm. be interesting. It really mm-hmm. is. But I'm excited for Reds baseball. It's good that the Reds are relevant. And I think that if you're a Reds fan or you haven't been to Great American Ballpark in a while, go down there this year. It's a good team.
Go.
It's a fun team that is very young and exciting. And one thing for sure is that they will keep you on your seats, keep you on toes of the seats. They will, because – there's games I watched last year. I'm like, yo, I need to go to bed. But they just keep coming back in games. And I'm like, why you guys keep giving me false hope? It's like Cincinnati Bearcats basketball this year. I feel like that's going to be the case for the Reds this year in 2024. I'm joking, but hopefully the Reds will make the postseason, the real postseason. All right, man. You got anything else to add before we leave?
Yeah. Follow my Instagram, Matt.Body116. And my YouTube channel. I'm coming out with my 2024 MLB season predictions soon, probably later tonight. And I'm going to post that on my YouTube channel. And also follow my website too, Matt Mapati, I believe, wixwebsite.com, where it's basically my design website. I do a lot of designs of, you know, sports concepts, drink products, just a lot of a variation of particular designs. Also did like a gym concept brand design as well. So check out my website. My links should be going to my website should be in my IG, so you can just like easily, you know, access to that. And yeah, that's basically it.
And I man put all his information out there. I respect that. All right, but we'll have you back on the podcast during the season just to give your thoughts on, like, update on the team, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think I'll have you on more because I feel like people want to hear more Reds baseball this year now that the Reds are exciting and relevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll have you back on the pod, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys listening to this podcast. I think I'll do a podcast this week talking about Bearcats losing NIT, unfortunately, and a certain quarterback in Cincinnati is officially throwing the football. I wonder y'all guess who that is. You'll find out on the podcast coming up on Friday. Anything else to add, Matt?
Nah, that's it, man.
I appreciate you doing this podcast. This was good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are listening to this podcast on opening day, happy opening day. If you're going down the parade, enjoy it. If you're going down the game, I hope the Reds win. If you're a betting person, take the Reds money line. All right, I'm out. Peace.